Welcome back. This is Exopolitics Radio. I'm your host, Alfred Weber. And today we have indeed a very special guest, Dr. Carl Johan Kallman, who holds a PhD in physical biology and has served as an expert on cancer for the World Health Organization. He is the author of The Mayan Calendar and the Transformation of Consciousness, as well as Solving the Great Mystery of Our Time, The Mayan Calendar. Welcome, Dr. Kallman.
Thank you, thank you. Pleasure to be with you.
Oh, good. In your book, The Mayan Calendar and the Transformation of Consciousness, you write, yet it should not be overlooked that the Mayan calendar also conveys a unique message. There is a deadline for the creation of the enlightened golden age at the end of time, and we all need to participate as co-creators in that process. I wondered if you could elaborate more on the meaning of that passage.
Yes. Okay. Well, I believe that there are a series of cosmic energies coming in a very specific orders, so to speak. It's sort of an organizational plan, if you like, an organizational time plan that is described by the Mayan calendar. And that particular time plan is now coming soon, October 28, 2011, to a fulfillment. And I think it's important here to go back to something that hasn't been known for so long, actually, that it's only like in 2006, I think, that the single ancient Mayan inscription that actually describes the meaning of the end date came to the surface in 2006, which may sound a little bit funny considering how much speculations there has been out there. And that particular inscription says that there is coming an end date. And at that end date, nine gods will descend. That's how they express it. And this is really then what we should expect from this particular end date, that nine gods will descend. So there's absolutely nothing about the end of the world. There's absolutely nothing about a galactic alignment. There's nothing about any precessional cycle. But the only thing that this particular inscription, the only single one that talks about the end date, is saying is that nine gods will descend. And what that means is that, to grasp that, I think it's helpful to understand that the Mayan concept of God is, or a God, as we're talking about here, we're talking about nine creation gods, is not exactly what we first will think of. We tend to think of gods as being like the Greek gods or the Nordic gods, like individuals out there that are sort of acting pretty much like human beings, but with other abilities and capacities and so forth. But the Mayan concept of God is much more, I would translate it directly as cosmic forces. And fairly impersonal cosmic forces. Energies would be another way of putting it. And so what this means is that we're coming to a time when there are nine cosmic forces that will manifest. And that's what this single inscription that we have from the ancient Maya talk about.
Right. Now, what type of cosmic forces is this in different areas or?
Well, to me, it seems fairly obvious that these nine forces this, that they're describing are exactly those nine levels of evolution that I have been describing in my books, and that are symbolized by the kind of nine-storied pyramids that we find when we go to the ancient Mayan temple sites. Because these usually, at their center, they have a nine-storied pyramid. And so that's sort of, it's like a hierarchical order of nine cosmic forces. And the study of the Mayan calendar is to look at how these nine forces have come into play progressively on top of one another and so forth. And so to return to your question, you know, I wanted to make this point before how the ancient Maya actually talk about this end date, before I go back to what you talked about, we need to participate or so forth. And there are a number of changes that you can anticipate in the years ahead based on what we know of what these cosmic energies will bring that the Mayan calendar describes. And these cosmic forces, they are working through us, you might say. In other words, if we are not responding to the directions that these forces are giving us, and this, of course, when I say, I refer to sort of an etheric cosmic energy. So we need to participate in this. And for instance, I believe that many, or if not all, of the hierarchical systems of the world, systems of political rule or economic rule, but that's based on the rule of one person over the other, are going to come to an end. And it's not just some, to me, this is not just some dream or some speculation or so forth. It seems just like a logical consequence of the analysis that I have made of these cosmic forces that the Mayan calendar describes. And so, for instance, I think we are going towards a world of peace. But it won't come easily, so to speak. I think it will come very much through the dismantling and disappearance of the national borders. And I think that's one thing where we will have to participate. The cosmic forces can only work through us. And but the Mayan calendar, the study of the Mayan calendar, can help us understand what these cosmic forces want us to do in order to fulfill what seems to be the intended end result of the cosmic plan.
Right. Now, you also talk about the cosmic tree of life.
Yes.
As being a universal organizing principle.
Yes.
Is that one way is that one other way to describe how these forces are working?
Yes. The cosmic tree of life is the origin. And that's, again, I think it's appropriate to go back to the actual Mayan inscriptions from ancient times. Because, for instance, in the Temple of the Inscriptions in Palenque, which is one of the most beautiful and most of the important of the ancient sites in Mexico, there is a creation story. The Mayan creation story is inscribed on the walls in stone on that particular temple. And what it says there is that these cosmic energies, they start when what they call the first father, which probably we would call simply God in the traditional sense of the Judeo-Christian notion of God. When the first father erected the world tree so that the light could enter. And that's how it's written in those stones. And this is seems probably fairly hard to grasp for modern people. We have forgotten the origin of the world tree, which used to be an idea, a myth, or a belief that existed all over the world in ancient times. We certainly have it in the Bible, the tree of life, in the first book of the Bible, in Genesis, but we have it all over the world. You can go to the Maori of New Zealand, you can go to the Viking traditions, you can go to the North American Indians, and you will find different ways of symbolizing a world tree at the center of the cosmos. And what is fascinating here is that, again, how some of these things are very relevant for our own time is surfacing at the current time. And so recently, and I'm talking about 2004, in the scientific literature, it was published a study that showed that the universe, if you study the what they call the afterglow, the background microwave radiation from this initial primordial event called the Big Bang by modern physicists, when they studied that, they found that there is a big axis that is emerging at the very time, from the very birth of the universe. And it's also now recently been reported that the whole universe seems to be rotating around this big axis. And this is completely different from the traditional Big Bang story, where it's just presented as a big explosion. Here we're starting to see that there is a structure of the universe from its very beginning. And what I'm saying in my forthcoming book, The Purposeful Universe, is that this axis that modern science now, with its all very advanced satellite technology, has discovered, is the same thing as what the ancients talked about as the tree of life, a huge tree-like or the axis-like structure from which all the universe basically is created. So this is a fascinating story, and I will describe that in my coming book that is due to be published in December of this year.
Right. Now, also, with regard to space and time, you also talk about the acceleration of time.
Yes.
And I wondered if you could talk to our listeners a bit about that.
Well, it combines the two things we've been talking about so far. It is, on the one hand, these nine cosmic forces, which are really cosmic wave movements, developed with different frequencies on top of one another. And the other thing is the tree of life, the cosmic tree of life, which then now no longer really is a myth, but it's a sort of a physical reality of our universe, around which it's all organized, as it seems. And from this center of the universe, from the central axis of the universe, from this tree of life, it is that wave movements of different frequencies are emanating. It's sort of sending out in different directions wave movement that serves to create the physical universe as we know it. But these wave movements are coming or are going through the universe. They sent through the universe at different frequencies. And so for a long time, from the Big Bang, 16 billion years ago, when the first matter came into existence, there was a wave movement with a very, very low frequency that dominated creation. Shifts in energy then took place as rarely as every 1.25 billion years. But on top of that, developed another wave movement that had a frequency that was 20 times higher. And then there was another one that was activated later, that was 20 times higher frequency, and then it went up until we come to the current level of evolution, the galactic level of evolution, where this wave movement has a frequency of only 360 days. So in this whole process, we've gone from a frequency of change of energies of about 1.25 billion years to approximately a year. And so step by step, the rate of creation has increased, and with all of these, with each of these nine cosmic forces. And as this happening, we human beings, we are experiencing this frequency increase in the cosmic plan, and usually we experience it as time going faster. In reality, it is then the divine creation process that increases its frequency, and we are now at the eighth of the nine levels there, and there is just one more level to go that may have an even higher frequency of change, and that one will be activated only in the year 2011.
Right. Yeah. We'd like to cover the year 2011 just later in the program, but right now you've written the matrix of these frequency changes seems to be divided in alternating periods called days and nights, and you've written, quote, around the time that the sixth night begins on November 8th, 2009, that's just in a few months,
yeah,
we may expect that the meltdown intensifies and the U.S. dollar collapses, and with it, the established monetary system in the world. Many things may trigger such an event, but it's important to understand that whatever triggers it, and it may be some kind of a political event, it is the energy of this night that will bring it about. Since we're about to go into the sixth night, I wondered if you could talk about some of the dynamic of that period. You also say, incidentally, that is why it is important what will be made of the rebirth energy of the second half of the sixth day. So we're now in the second half of the sixth day, and starting in November 8th, 2009, be going into the sixth night. I wondered if you could talk about the dynamics of the upcoming year through November 8th, 2010, which would be the sixth night.
Yeah. Well, you know, my expectation is that this will be a difficult time. Especially... I do expect that there will be an intensified economic downturn, and this will hit probably the whole world. But I think there will be a special emphasis on the Western Hemisphere, and then in particular the United States and the UK that have been sort of the main centers of the financial world. I think when this time will come, there will be a shift in our perception of reality in such a way where people will be drawn away from all economic values that are abstract, that we don't see like concrete reality. And that's one of the things I'm expecting. And so I do believe, you know, I don't know, of course, when or how this particular process will bottom out, but I do believe that, generally speaking, money in terms of what is digits in computers, in bank computers, or what is paper money and so forth, will experience a clear decline in how its value is perceived. And you might wonder, of course, why would this be? Because what I'm saying here is that this change is then part of a cosmic plan, and it's meant to be that way. And at the same time, we can be fairly certain that a lot of people will experience hardships, and we can be fairly certain that some of these may be imaginary, but I also think there will be very, very real hardships coming up in this time period that's coming. But I think ultimately, I think it's all about creating a world where, as I mentioned, no one dominates anybody else, where there is no one controls anybody else. And the way that control and dominance has been upheld in our world has to a large extent been exactly from what I mentioned here, abstract values, money, and so forth. And I think this is what is it's a part of the of a of a process creating a more egalitarian world. And I think it's also that it sort of serves as some kind of a protection for the planet. And I think there's a lot of people that realize today that in many ways we are on the edge of creating environmental disasters. Nobody can tell really, you know, how much more of the pollution and so forth would create some kind of significant global warming that would, or something else, the destruction of the disappearance of the bees, or something like else that would create a serious environmental catastrophe affecting ourselves. And so we can be fairly certain that if the kind of growth economy that the world has gotten used to for now a fairly long time, if that was to continue, then we can be fairly certain that the world would come to an end, simply because we would bring it upon ourselves. And I don't believe that's the purpose of our world. And so I think you might say that the cosmic plan at this point is setting in some kind of a brakes that basically says, you got to stop here. This is as far as you can go in terms of pushing away nature and constantly trying to conquer and destroy it. This is it. And I think that those are some of the aspects or of the dynamics that we are going into when the sixth night begins. And it may be, you know, that the economy will become so bad, so difficult that also that we will have to shift around, and that there, in such a way that we more or less have to start sharing in order for the world to survive, in order to so we will have to shift around, make a transformation of our economic system, where it goes from individual acquisition to sharing, and it will be perceived also, I think, more or less as something that's imposed on us. We human beings as individuals, we would hardly have chosen these things, but I think the divine plan has a higher purpose in sight, and that's what I hope it's all going, and I feel confident that that's the purpose of it.
Right. Well, that is fairly daunting. There's a new book by Kevin Cahill dealing with who owns land ownership.
Yep.
Around the world, and it shows that 85% of the population owns nothing. That is, owns no land.
Yep.
21% of the global of the Earth's land is owned by 26 people.
Yes.
And 41.5% of the Earth's land is owned by 1% of the population.
Yeah.
So that concentration of wealth is an example, I think, of the hierarchies. And I'm wondering how one might envision that would change.
Well, I think it will be, in a sense, it might be called a revolution, I think.
I see.
And based on a new perception, because these energies that the Mayan calendar describe a change in the perception of reality. And I think there will come a point here where the old ways of, as you are mentioning here, examples of a very few people controlling, owning such huge masses of land and such huge groups of people not owning it. I think it will come a situation where this will be seen as impossible to continue, to sustain. And, you know, the whole concept of owning land, when you start thinking about it, it's a strange concept. God created this earth, and how can anybody own it? It's more to me, ownership in that sense is more like a faith in how human beings perceive reality and how they relate to the world.
Right.
That's our look upon it.
Good. Well, we've come to the end of this very interesting segment with Dr. Kalaman. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.